Good morning, Gareth Hall with you on this Monday, the 27th of June, along with the great Scotty Gallen. We are filling in. And there are a couple of big shoes to fill. With Daniel Harford and Adam White. Adam Ramanaskis will join us as well, as he does every Monday morning. But Scotty Gallen, good morning to you. Thanks for having me on the breakfast
club. It's wonderful. We don't use the term fill-in because some would suggest, and the ratings would suggest, that this is A-grade material. It's wonderful to have you on this early.
Yeah, well,
how do you feel?
It was a tough night because I woke up every 20 minutes. Dana's away, so she usually my backup alarm.
Yeah. So you were nervous?
Yeah. Thought, I can't sleep in this morning.
Day one, I actually, driving here, I thought, oh, maybe me and Rammer might have to do some magic early if our man G Hall doesn't quite lift.
Adam Ramanaskis, good morning to
wow.
you.
Wow, good morning. Yes. This is very exciting. Oh. Very exciting. It's sort of, you've come from safari this morning, which is he's got his sort of khakis on this morning.
No one can see us. It's radio.
Well, that's why I'm painting a picture in the listener's mind here.
So. What am I wearing then?
You look fantastic.
David Attenborough. What am I wearing?
Well, the jacket and the pant and jumper. It all
a little
matches.
Bit of sort of camouflage in the studio, Scotty.
I like it.
It's the new look. You look like a homeless bloke when you knocked on the door. Bang. I thought, who's this? It's Scotty Gallen.
That's my general look.
But it's very exciting to have you on board. What are
it's great.
For the whole week, if you make it.
Are you doing your show as well?
No, Matty Nevin wouldn't let me. So he's filling in.
Oh.
He's a talent too, Matty Nevin, the morning.
Yeah, rising,
so at 10:30, at least someone will give RSN Central a bit of a promotion this week. Michael Felgate at 8:30 as well, so looking forward to that. But it was great to come in to see how the A-team do it. A lot of preparation.
The green room's
a lot of
busy.
Meetings.
Yeah, it's big.
It's
big.
We've been on the phone most of last night.
Well, all the preparation is done on the weekend, obviously, Scotty. Like, the amount of times that I'd phone and text you on the weekend just to talk about how things are rolling.
And I'd ring Steve-O time with ideas about who we want to get on the show.
Yeah.
So I suggested we should get Jimmy Bartel in again. Yeah. I reckon that'd be a good idea.
Well, it's a busy show because Greg Cabriel is joining us just after 6:20 because do you know what starts tonight?
I know. I haven't had my bets yet.
It comes around so quick.
It's a bit exciting.
Well, usually Whitey sort of will give a bit of a rundown on his fancies for the next 2 weeks.
So, Wimbledon.
Yes, Wimbledon. Yes. So I'm sure that Whitey may text in at some stage this morning and give those little tips.
I mean, no Ash Barty, obviously, but Nicky Kay, I mean, his prep's been the best. You're a big Nick Kay man, Gareth.
Yeah.
This, I know we don't say it every year, but this would seem to be... He's got a nice, kind draw early.
I don't think he can win.
He can't go the 2 weeks playing five sets. But
he'll be in the pub tonight at least.
Well, but at least he's had some sort of lead-in. He's actually played some games.
Correct.
That would suggest that he's in at least some kind of form.
Yep. I think it's his best prep. So fingers crossed. I mean, if he can get to the second week.
Yeah, that would be great.
Just some excitement for us.
Yeah. I think Andy Murray could be the story of Wimbledon. He did defeat Kyrgios
in Germany
a couple of weeks ago, and he also defeated Tsitsipas. So I don't think he's ever been in better health for a couple of years, Andy Murray. So looking forward to catching up with Craig, get his thoughts. What did you make of the footy? What's meant to be the greatest round of AFL footy for years. I don't think it lived up to the anticipation. I thought there was one match that was sensational on that Saturday twilight clash between the Hawks and Geelong. Tigers and Geelong.
Yeah. I thought the Carlton Freo game was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good win.
Last night, Power and Suns was a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It was...
There's a little bit of sort of separation. We'll dig in more to it. I think sort of a couple of teams may have just sorted themselves out where they are. We'll talk more about Geelong because obviously it's significant what's happened with Tom Stewart and probably just what that means potentially, Scotty.
How many weeks?
Minimum three, more likely four.
He has to get four, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think a good result would be three, unfortunately. Look, he didn't mean it. You can see how remorseful he is, but...
It was interesting.
Well, he did mean it. He went to hit...
I don't think he meant to hit
knock
him
out. Knock him out, no. I mean, it was instinctive to block the body, and he just got him absolutely... Yeah.
And that's what players are instructed to do, because what happens is, so Presti gives that handball.
You want to stop him from...
Correct. They want to stop him from running, because that's what the good midfielders do. They give the handball, then they go again, and then that's how they get their chain going to gain territory into the forward line. So Tom Stewart's tried to stop him and just clipped him flush.
0416 90 50 52 to join the conversation here on the Breakfast Club this morning. Gareth Hall, Scotty Gallen with you, along with Adam Ramanaskis. What about the send-off rule?
Yeah.
I think you need to bring the send-off rule. You wouldn't use it on too many occasions, but it's such a massive advantage if you lose a player and the side has that advantage like the I think the Cats had on Saturday.
I know what you mean. It would be only once a year if you're lucky. I don't like it. Yeah. I mean, if there's some debate about it, but the umpy kicks in on it.
That wouldn't have been a debate on Saturday.
I mean, the Medi sub, they did have a ruckman as their Medi sub, which was very odd. But, you know, in hindsight, Geelong win by a couple of points and Prestia would have clearly had an influence and Stewart was best on ground. So, yes, in this case, it's glaring that maybe it would work, but I don't like it. As a rule.
Well, the only other occasion where I thought it might have worked would be the Gaff and Brayshaw situation, maybe just over a year ago, or 2 years ago these days. So you would send Gaff off there.
Yeah, because it was clear what had happened. Yep. But I don't like it.
Rama? Because it's such a big advantage these days if you lose a player.
Whose decision is it to send a player? Is it the umpires instantly there or
the bunker?
That's what I'm saying. Does it go into the arc?
Has to be the
and
bunker.
They make because the umpire will miss certain things.
Yeah.
And then what constitutes a send off?
Well, you have to ring Chris. Chris has to be on standby every game. Chris, did you see that?
Well, the player who's injured is gone, obviously, and it's a offence to the eye that is, like we're all saying, automatically 3 to 4, like a fist or an elbow to the head, a deliberate act. It has to be deliberate.
Okay, so last night we see in the State of Origin, Kaufusi gets sent off just before halftime for what I interpreted as and what the umpire said as repeated penalties.
Yeah, see, that changed the game, didn't it?
So what I'm saying is then if a player gives away a professional free kick...
No, that's not sent off. No, no, no.
This is what I'm getting at. So what... Are we saying if a player knocks out another player, that's the only way we can send a player off?
I think so. A violent act, and not an accident that knocks out a player. It has to be a intentional. But that
could be deemed. Tom Stewart's could be deemed as an accident. He didn't mean to get
no,
in
but
head.
He meant to run past the ball and bump, make body contact.
It wasn't an accident. He went to bump and and he was unlucky that
the intention was
bump wrong.
Yeah, but this is what I'm getting at. So within our game, there's a lot of grey. We do have a lot of grey areas, particularly when it comes to the tribunal and what's what and how it's adjudicated.
I agree with that.
So how we actually constitute what is an actual send off, I think. Could have a couple of little holes in it.
Let us know. Help us out. 0416 90 50 52. Looking forward to catching up with Jimmy Bartel just after 7 o'clock to dissect this big weekend of football. And I thought Jimmy was superb. They should use him more often Thursday night football for Channel 7.
No doubt.
He'd be my number one selection, Jimmy. I don't know. I think he's, along with you, Roma, the two best footy analysts in the game.
Well, he talks and sees the game and is able to explain what's happening very, very clearly.
He gets it, doesn't he, Jimmy?
Hey, just back to that send-off rule. Sorry, one more thing.
Yes, yes.
If you send a player off, are you allowed to replace the player you send off, or are you playing with 17?
Yeah. No, you're allowed to play with 18.
Correct. Okay.
So that player cannot come back on?
No, he gone.
That's it, done. Yep. See you later. Red card.
Yeah.
They play one down.
That's correct.
So AFL, you're saying you get sent off, but you still can replace that.
Yeah, I don't think our game can play one short. No. That's just unfair.
So what's the penalty?
Well, you've lost your best player who knocked out their best player, and then it's evened up. Medi subs come on.
Oh, but as he makes a good point, because you just could put your... could just send Gareth Hall out to knock someone out. You're your worst player.
That's what I'm getting at. Yes. So it can be easily manipulated then in a grand final... where you say to Mark Yates, go and try and knock out Dermot Brereton at the opening bounce.
Yes, all these points are valid. Mm. I don't think...
Something to think about,
it will
Scotty.
Be brought in.
We've got about 2.5 hours to make a decision.
Well, we've just got to set the agenda.
Yes. And we are an agenda-making show, there's no doubt about that. And we saw it last night in the State of Origin. Now, Benny Elias will be joining. Benny Elias, he's a great rugby league man. He's a superstar. Yeah. He speaks about the game so well. He'll be joining us just after... 8:20 or around 8:15 this morning. Kaufusi gets sent off for the Queensland Maroons late in the
first half.
Play on six, they just kept on giving away penalties to the Maroons. I think that was 6-1 or 6-4 penalties for the match, but four of those were late in that first half by the Queenslanders. The umpire had enough.
Yep.
He sends off Kafusi. Billy Slater's interviewed at halftime, says this is a great opportunity for my team to show a little bit of character, to dig deep play with one less and hold off the Blues. They did just that, but once Kafusi went on, they went on.
Well,
they got some help, and then they
scored right on halftime.
Yeah.
They scored right on halftime, New South Wales, out wide, the winger, and then it was an avalanche in the second half.
Because they ran out of steam.
The amount of sets that they were... and. I talk like I'm a Queensland supporter.
You're wearing maroon.
The amount of sets they were made to defend by New South Wales was outstanding. They just exhausted them in the end. You could see Queensland were just completely exhausted.
Buggered.
Yep. There seemed to be a few punters in the stadium too. They've embraced it. Perth.
Well, it did look good. It did look good, but what was disappointing is the quality of the playing surface.
They were slipping
and sliding everywhere yesterday. The weather was pretty nice in your hometown, wasn't it, Garrett?
Why is it dewy over there? What happens there?
Got to make it softer for those soft rugby league players, that's why. I don't know. It's a good point because they used to complain that it was too hard.
Yeah.
And they made it nice and soft. Mark Stevens will be joining us just after 6:40, the best newsbreaker in the game. And I'll tell you what, this is just from one of the biggest fans of the Breakfast Clubs. And Harford and Whitey, sensational combination. But the inclusion of the best newsbreaker in the game, Mark Stevens, has been extraordinary.
You would have been all over last week. He's had Jeff Walsh going to North Melbourne days ahead of the rest of the pack. Days, Gareth. Days.
No wonder Tom Brown forced him out of Channel 7 because
he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, Tommy couldn't compete with Steve-O.
The veteran. No, he's in great form.
And he's got some big news, I would imagine, today on a Monday for us. So looking forward to that. Do you like State of Origin, Rammer?
I love it.
Yeah. I wish we had it in the AFL.
I absolutely love it. I've watched it ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah. 15 years ago.
Longer than that. Just the theatre of it all. I think the way they do it, the way it's embraced as the biggest part, the biggest game of their sport.
Will never happen in AFL again.
Clubs virtually train and coach players to be selected into State of Origin. Yeah. So, you know, that's... I love it. Absolutely love it. It was a sad day when the AFL State of Origin left. And it won't come back, so let's not get into that argument, but...
It's a good argument to have, but...
Well, no, it's just a boring argument now. It's not coming back.
You're never going to get over the line.
To see the passion, to see how hard they play, for 80 minutes, it's no Mickey Mouse game. It's full on.
And New South Wales made 7 changes, which I love. Just bang, we lost that one.
Well, they should have, because they were woeful in game one. Jake Trifunovic is the man that they didn't select. Like, what were you thinking? I couldn't believe that. He's one of the great... middle players in rugby league. He's a front rower that his defensive work is better than most. He should be captain of Manly over Daly Terry Evans because he's not as selfish as Daly Terry Evans. And he basically was, I thought he was nearly the best player for New South Wales.
He was terrific.
Still no Addo Carr. What's Josh done?
Josh is playing for a terrible side. Yeah. He's went for the money. And unfortunately, in rugby league, if you're a winger and you're playing for a crap side, you're not getting the ball.
What I do want to put on the table, Gareth, is... It's a 3-game series.
Yeah. Okay?
Now, usually, the team that won the previous series, they get 2 games at home, 1 away.
Yeah.
Is the fairest way to do this? So, the team that won the series previously, they get the home game, game 1. Game 2 is then on the road somewhere, whether it's Melbourne, Perth, Adelaide, wherever that is. And then game 3 is then back to New South Wales or Queensland. Is that the fairest
100%.
Way?
I like it this series. Way. Totally.
It's the only way to do it, because if you're trying to grow the game of rugby league, the best way to do it is put your best product out there, and that's State of Origin football. They didn't do it last year because no one else would let them into their states, basically, in South Australia and WA. So it's the best way to do it. And you pack out the stadium there at Optus Stadium yesterday.
Sensational last night.
And it's fair because you get 1 game at home, and then you've got to go onto the road. And the best deciders in State of Origin football are always in Brisbane. Mm. So it's going to be a beauty in a couple of weeks' time. Even though that I think it's lost its charm a little bit, State of Origin. Like, usually you'd go to the pubs around Melbourne and everybody would be talking about it, or you'd have a group of mates that would want to have a beer and enjoy State of Origin. I haven't seen that build up this year for some reason.
Is that because of the hangover from COVID?
I don't know what it is.
Maybe. We're a bit lazier than we used to be. Mm.
Did you back a winner on the weekend?
No.
Now, Greg Gorrell will be joining us just before 7 o'clock, of course, for the early mail.
Although, Mark Hunter, I think,
he's the best, isn't he? Along with Dino Lester.
Cardinal Gem won. His best one.
Yep.
His multi was scratched the first leg, so I think Mark Hunter's going
well,
okay.
Well, he declared Cardinal Gem on this show on Friday
morning.
Run
out in his quaddy. Yep.
Did not muck around. Said, just get on. Put your house on it. But gamble responsible.
Oh, of course.
And it won like a good thing. It was a great ride there by MD because he stayed out of trouble. He said, oh, we're not having any bad luck today, boy. And he won like a good horse. So I think he can play a role in the spring. Inundated, I think he's a horse on the up.
Ooh,
he went from a benchmark 58 on a synthetic track and bolted home. I thought he was rock bottom price, but he won like
he
a horse that, that can play a part in some, like a stakes race during the carnival. Gennady was the horse that we thought would be the winter wonder from that meeting at Caulfield, and she was defeated, but wasn't. I don't think she lost too many admirers there. So.
Got wobbles. Like we did have an incident on Friday, though.
Yeah.
Kelvin McAvoy, a good friend of the station.
He's got more strut than you these days, Kelvin McAvoy.
Well, he's not strutting as much because he declared there was two very shorties and he declared the wrong one.
All right, then. Hey, he was good to me on my show on RSN Central.
He declared the other thing?
No, he tipped me 4 out of 4 on the synthetic track one Monday. So,
he gave us the wrong one.
Yeah, well, it's 20 past 6.
Just before we get to the break.
Well, I've got to go to the break.
I know we do, but
Adam's allowed to have the
NBA draft, Scotty, Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, I'll talk about
first round pick.
Yeah, happy wearing
Luke Travers.
Yeah,
then to Cleveland with pick 56 it was. Terrific night. Terrific night for Australian basketball.
Gareth Hall and Scott Gullen. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
6:40, great to be with you on this Monday morning. This is the Breakfast Club. Adam White, Daniel Harford on a well-earned break. I think Harford is in Singapore. And Adam White, I don't know where Whitey is. I think Steve, you heard his feelings last Friday. There was a little bit of tension, they tell me.
No, it's good to have some tension.
Jeez.
Was it resolved?
Yeah. I actually felt uncomfortable, Scotty.
I fled up.
Usually Steve-O's in the breaks and talking and, lifting morale.
Yeah, I've had a few.
Did not come in after 7 o'clock. Yeah, not once.
I don't like confrontation.
Well, it's funny how donuts arrived and Whitey gave me donuts.
It's still lingering.
Yeah, it is.
Lucky he's got 2 weeks off.
A bit of tension around here doesn't hurt.
Did you speak to each other over the weekend?
We haven't had any communication.
Oh, wow.
No, we were fine, Rammer. We were fine.
Oh, I don't know how that is.
He loves you, Whitey. You know that.
No, we love each other. But, I think Half's in Singapore, and Whitey, I'd say, is at
Rosebud.
Ringwood.
Rosebud. He'll be down, Rosebud.
Now, Steve-O, don't let me down, because you are the best newsbreaker in the game. What have you got? No, you've got plenty for us.
No, we just have to obviously tick off the steward issue. I know you've spoken about it, but we'll just break it down to the basics. Gareth. So careless, high, severe impact. Now, a lot of people sort of get up in arms and say it's going to be 6 weeks and whatever. When you look at the formula, it says straight to the tribunal, 3+. So there's actually a number there when you go through and tick the boxes. So having sat through a lot of these tribunals, Scotty, what will happen is the AFL will say, look, 3+, we'll say we want 4. Mm-hmm. So it'll be 4 at the most. 3 at the least. So somewhere in the 3 and 4. There's going to be no surprises at the tribunal. There won't be a 6 or 8 week, or it'll be 3 to 4, probably a 3. So that's just the way it operates.
The Stuart camp's not going to defend it or anything. He'll be up front. It'll be the easiest case of all time.
Yeah.
But is that too low? Because
I think 4 weeks is enough.
4 weeks is a lot.
Yeah.
It'll be 3 to 4. So the parameters of the tribunal don't allow for much more than that. So, it was probably careless. If there had been a box to tick reckless, as there used to be, it was probably between careless and deliberate.
Hmm. It was deliberate for the fact that he went to bump, but he didn't mean to knock him out. He just flushed him, really. Hmm. So that's the well, you just can't bump anymore, Omar.
And if you well, do, you can bump. You just got to execute it better.
Yeah, that'd be quite a quick
tribunal. You run the risk. Yeah.
It's not as sexy as it used to be, these sort of things. No. There won't be a heap of evidence or whatever. It'll be done quite quickly.
How many weeks for you, Steve-O?
I think it'll be three. With a big apology, I think you'll find that, you know, there'll be remorse come into it.
I don't like the he's a good bloke, Tommy Stewart. I don't like that argument. He is a great bloke, Tommy Stewart.
But he is a fair player.
He made a mistake.
Yeah, but a lot of people do look at that. Now,
he generally showed remorse at the time.
I understand all of that, but he still made a mistake. And that's why he was sick, because he thought, I've just done a terrible thing.
Yeah, but some player, if he was a certain time player, he'd be like, oh, I got a scalp, and then just played on. And
if that was Toby Green, what would we be saying?
The pylon would be a lot different.
He'd get another one just
for being
10
weeks.
The interesting, I think the media pack would be already on their way down to Geelong. He'd be the big target today, just putting the TV head on today. And what would you do? Would you advise him, Rama, to stop and talk before the tribunal? Probably three or four quick lines and say, look, I'm remorseful.
Yep.
Can't wait to get in there and hopefully.
I think that will. It's probably better off waiting until the verdict is handed down. I think, because, of course, we know he's remorseful. We know all that. We saw the scenes. We heard Chris Scott speak about him after the game. I think that's probably more.
Yeah, he may not have much choice. I think there'll be people behind pot plants there. So on the way into Geelong, which in Geelong are normally pretty good. I expect him to probably say something, Scotty, on the way in.
Yeah, no, they like their men to talk briefly.
Lee sent in a text, and this is about the conversation we had at the top of the show regarding the send-offs. Steve-O, he says, send-offs are in local footy. People carry on like it happened every 5 minutes in the AFL, which is ridiculous. It's to punish and to prevent retaliation, so the umpires regain control. Some leagues allow replacement players, some don't. That's from Lee. Would you be in favour of a send-off rule in the AFL?
I can't see any reason why not in the case now that we have the video evidence, but I wouldn't make a rush decision.
No.
So play can go on, and then maybe 5 minutes later, once they've looked at all the angles, and
I'm siren sounds or bells.
Like a red siren, a guy has to sprint off and say, you're done for the day on the screen. But I think people say, well, the umpire could make a mistake and he's off for the rest of the game. Well, that can't happen now because we have the video. So there'd be a process to go through.
Yep.
The same guy who does the goal line would have a look at it and would only be extreme. I don't think in this case I would send Tom Stewart off. I'm with Scotty. It's for a king hit behind the player, punch, a Barry Hall on a staker.
That doesn't happen anymore.
So it'd be once every 5 years.
Yeah.
Nah. When's the last time you can remember other than Barry Hall?
Yeah.
Andrew Gaff would have been sent off for the Brayshaw. Mm. So that we're looking at a once a 5 year occurrence. But it's good to have there just in case, particularly for a grand final.
What's the latest with Jordan Degoe?
Well, it was interesting after the game, Craig McRae was asked about Degoe. When you listen to him, it's pretty clear that they haven't spent a lot of time talking to each other.
Well, he didn't ring him back.
No, he's hopeful.
No, I think you'll find that Craig McRae has reached out to Jordan Degoe every day.
Yeah, and one day he didn't ring back and he was dirty. Don't you love that McRae tells us all that?
Well, I love the honesty from him.
Well, it doesn't happen 98% of the
time. And I think that potentially shows why Collingwood are in the position they're in at the moment.
Of course it does, Adam.
Yeah, so hopefully potentially could play this week. Let's take a listen to Craig McRae. Certainly I wouldn't be too hopeful of Jordan Degoe rushing back to Collingwood.
Spoken a couple of times, and hopefully I'll get to speak to him tomorrow. I think if I'm based on the conversation I had, I think there's some movement in terms of feeling better, and I don't know what that equates to yet. But there's definitely a slight shift if you're on his mood, and hopefully catch up with him tomorrow at some stage and see where that takes us.
Is he happy with how the club's handled it? It was talking. He's angry, upset. Is that?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll dig deeper when I get a chance to really sit down with him. And look, we want Geordie back. Yeah, he makes us better at the right time.
What are you shaking your head for, Rama, at that question?
Oh,
it's an outstanding question.
It had to be asked.
Yeah, but not to Craig McRae.
Well, he's the figurehead of the football club.
I would have thought the GM of football probably sits above that.
Oh, well, he hasn't shown his face for 2 weeks.
How do you get the Graham?
I don't know.
He's in a cave, Graham.
I think that's a little drive-by.
Craig McRae can handle it. It's a question that he answered very well.
Yeah, I think Jay...
Just after a headline.
Jay Clark and the others are derelict in their duty if they didn't ask that, Rama.
Just my opinion. I think he's just after a headline. You know he's after a headline, Scotty.
Jeez, you'd be boring in a media conference. Honestly. Because you wouldn't ask any of the headline
Dorothy Dixon. Well,
I would have thrown it back to Jay. How would have you liked the club to handle it, Jay?
Oh, a lot better. You would have said something on the Saturday and not let it drift to Tuesday and helped your fans understand the situation.
Oh, right.
Be the voice to the fans who are outraged out there, Craig.
This is the thing. People think clubs know all the information in 1 second.
It's not that hard.
You know, sometimes it takes days to actually find out the truth.
Well,
because the player comes in and they might give a part of the story.
Well, then
you find out, you hear the Chinese whispers that go around the change room.
Yes.
Oh, there's a little bit more to this. So then you go to the player again and you find out a little bit more of the story. It's not just instantaneous because you need to fill your newspaper, Scotty.
You should know that. He knows it because he's a player manager and he's been...
Yeah, he's a liar. Like,
it's good work by Jay Clark, to be honest. Now, Brett Ratten, where's he at with the contract now? Rammer's a manager and obviously works with coaches and whatever. But I sort of said all along 2 years at the most. I know that Half thought he should have a 3-year extension.
Nice.
I believe the deal's virtually done and they're just ready to tick off the finer detail.
Might have been lost in the...
But Rami, surely
papers.
You can't take the throw the papers out
yes,
and say,
you can.
Hang on.
Of course you can.
If I'm St Kilda, I'm announcing that contract renewal this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, you think that they...
What?
But I think...
Who's going to come and steal Brett Ratten? Why do you have to sign him up right now?
Well, just to point everyone in the right direction.
2 weeks ago, he was there. Who was there? Who's their premiership coach?
their only premiership coach?
That's what we're talking about. Now, two games.
I wasn't speaking like that.
I love this.
You're speaking for yourself there, Adam.
In two games, your whole opinion of somebody can change and he's doing a really poor job.
My opinion.
2 weeks is a long time in football,
rubbish.
And they've been woeful last 2 weeks.
It's finals versus
non-finals. So should Simon Goodman got sacked for the three weeks that he had?
I'm not saying Rat should be sacked.
I'm just asking.
I'm saying, and I've been consistent, is why do you have to re-sign these people before their contracts are up?
Well, his contract's up in 10 games time.
Yeah, so why don't we just re-sign him then? End of the year?
Because they already know that he's the right person for the job.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I think it's pretty clear.
Why don't you wait till every term? None of these coaches are going to get poached to GWS going to swoop in and get Brett Ratten. Why don't you see all the evidence and go, mate, you've done a great job. Here's a couple more years. Or,
I think the first half of the season suggested that Brett Ratten is a very good coach.
Well, they've had injuries.
Well, let's see if he's a good coach over the next 10 weeks.
Would he be nervous, Brett Ratten? I think at the timing
of
it.
If Scotty was the CEO of St Kilda, he would be.
But
Scotty would move on a coach every 6 months.
I can see Rammer's point that this would be a circuit breaker. They've lost a couple of games. Let's get behind Ratten and then regenerate for the end of the season. They've announced it now. I think it would give them some impetus.
If you want to destabilise clubs, keep sacking coaches.
All right,
I'm not saying sack. Wait till the end of a year to assess performance.
Talking about pressure on a coach, does Essendon move on their coach, Steve-O?
Oh, Lloydy.
Well, Lloydy went very strong.
Your teammate
now,
doesn't
I need to ask Rammer, another premiership hero at Essendon. I mean, he says that Rutten should be under pressure. They should go after Clarkson. And I'd like to ask Rammer, should Rutten be under pressure?
Well, first and foremost, the president came out and said there's no situation where
Don't
Ben Rutten is not coaching.
Anything that was said in video announcement.
I think absolutely Ben Rutten should be coaching there next season.
He was stiff. He got West Coast at the wrong time of the season. No, he did.
West Coast with good value.
Well, the way Essendon have had the toughest draw. I've done the research there. Clearly the toughest draw. They're the only team to get West Coast up and about with all their players.
You're stiff, aren't you? Like,
they've had no luck. But
it's
I think
you're playing country football and you get one of those cut draft blokes turn up. You wouldn't read about it, would you?
But Lloydy makes a good point. If Clarkson's available, you'd have a look, surely.
Oh, Clarko. Is he? He's going to every club. I wish you'd just bloody make a decision, Clarko. Mm. Where do you want to go? Put yourself out there.
Well, there's only one job available at the moment.
Yeah, that's at the
I think we're getting
Giants.
To the next clutch.
And Jeff Walsh is about to arrive at Arden Street.
You broke this last Monday,
didn't
you?
Yeah. So I think he's got his briefcase. He's just packing his lunch now to head down there. A little snack or two. Muesli bar and whatever. So that'll be a big day at North as he enters there. David Noble, surely. I just can't see him coaching next
year. That was their big opportunity, was it?
When I first arrived, Adam White was the sports betting guru at RSN 927. Steve-O hasn't missed this year with his specially declared West Coast, after I told him, but he declared West Coast. And you've had... Tell us about your bet that you had last week.
Which was last week? Oh, I had
Melbourne.
A good bet on North Melbourne, $4.65 not to win another game.
Yeah.
I think they'd be shorter now.
$1.50 now.
I can't see them winning a game.
No.
They had a lot of outs yesterday.
That was that's their best team for a while.
There's no Zeeble, Horn Francis.
Yeah, but they got Zerha back.
57 points against another developing team.
Correct. Hobart, which is your home.
And Taron Thomas, just looking at him, obviously the body language wasn't great. We learned after the game that he had a loss
tough
in the
week.
Family, a tough week. So, but is there more to it? Because he just doesn't seem interested.
Well, he's been in the reserves to try.
I don't think he'll be at North Melbourne next year.
No, I think he's North
Melbourne. There's an exclusive for you. That's what I'm bringing to the table.
How did you come up with that?
I know. I know people that know people.
I think he's North Melbourne's most exciting and most important.
Not anymore.
He'll be playing elsewhere.
If he's looking to go elsewhere, shut North down. That is just a blow. No, but you can't afford to lose a guy like Taron Thomas.
Yeah.
They've got him from Tassie. They've got him under the zone. I mean, he's academy-type player. The future.
If it doesn't work, you'd rather have him not there when doesn't want to be there, basically. All right, Steve. Hey, brilliant, Steve.
Just finally, that deliberate out of bounds, surely. The handball at the end of the Suns game. That was red hot.
Right in the pocket there.
Yeah. Well, professional player who's got two guys and he just accidentally missed them both.
I've seen a worse one
on
Saturday.
You can't give that away.
Nat Fife.
Mm.
That was just, he just miskicked it. Yeah. I think he thought the umpire was his teammate.
Didn't a Suns player's legs get taken out in that last 10 seconds?
They were lucky, Porter.
Yeah.
You know, they panicked. They went back to Alir. He went back. He was retreating. He was almost in the front row.
Do you know what I love
You've got to keep attacking.
Do you know what I love about this show, Steve? Eh? When you're not on, you're telling me to get to a break, but when you're right, it's all right to run late. Good on you, Steve. Mark Stevens, AFL editor.
Gareth Hall and Scott Gallen. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Great to be with you on this Monday morning. It's 7:03. Gareth Hall and Scott Gallen filling in for Adam White and Daniel Harford this week. But it's time to talk footy. Adam Ramanaskis is with us, as he always is on a Monday. And now Jimmy Bartel joins us to talk through a big weekend of AFL footy. Jimmy, good morning to you.
Morning, gentlemen. Enjoyed. Did you guys get a play on?
Yeah.
Jeez, you've worked quick out the back, haven't you?
100%. Well,
on the way in, I was like...
The people need, they want it.
Give the people what they want.
The feedback was strong.
Hey, Jimmy, I know you love your golf. You've had
a
bet here.
I have.
In this tournament, PGA Tour.
With Travellers.
Yeah. Glad to see so many players playing and not going to the other tour. But Shefali, is that how you say his name? He's 18 under.
Shefley.
Shefali.
Shefali.
Shefley. The wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
You can tell that I love my golf.
But Jimmy's on this gentleman from India.
No, he's an American with Indian
parents. You told
me
yes. Oh, yes. Okay. I'm getting the wrong information.
Yeah. Thagala. I did get tipped into him by...
an unknown source.
Yes, he's very good
at... rifle station.
He's a very good golfing
expert. Mark Allen, you could say.
Rhymes with Mark Allen.
He's a good judge. Yeah, so what price did you get Thagala at?
$15 coming into the last.
So 6 holes to play, 17 under.
And he's got... he picks this up.
He's got a birdie putt to level.
Here we go. Do you want to call it? Are you allowed to call it with the right? So here we go, Scotty.
I think that's a metre, left to right, can't downhill...
miss. Get in there.
And he's rolled it in, straight in. Well played.
Here we go.
Jimmy can shout the Uber Eats coffee now.
Uber Eats.
You can cash out at least and pay for it. Jimmy, did you enjoy the weekend?
I did. I think footy's great at the moment. We've got, if the Saints had actually performed anywhere near their best, we would have had what everyone was hoping for, a super sad day.
Yeah.
Because the Tigers-Cats game was extraordinary. Yeah. Carlton Freo, Rammer, saw you in the commentary box next to me. It was a fantastic game, and we just missed out on that one. The Swans are good, taking nothing away from the Swans, but Saints were...
We'll have a chat about the Saints a little later on, but I want to talk about yesterday's match. The Magpies were too good for the Giants. I think it was a really important win for the Magpies. That's 5 on the trot now. They're in the top 8, and they can start to dream again, the Magpie fans.
Yeah, I think the important thing for them is that's a game that you could have dropped. You know, the Giants... They're playing some free-flowing footy. They're taking their game on, and they could have opened up Collingwood a little bit. We know the Giants are trying to score, but where I was really impressed with the Pies is the second and third quarter, their defensive work, they just closed down all the Giants' space and just stifled them, and the Giants stopped running because of it. So where they've been pretty good, they've been able to spread, they get the ball on the outside, Himmelberg down back, Isaac coming, they launch a lot of the Giants' attack, and Collingwood took that away from them. And then you throw in Darcy Cameron being really dominant in the ruck. I think the Pies, if they would have kicked straight towards the end, probably could have won by a considerable amount more.
SMS is coming through 0416 90 50 52. This listener makes a good point. I want to ask you this question, Jimmy.
Go for it.
What are the Pies going to do now with Grundy? Any chance of trading him to the Crows with the form of Darcy Cameron?
The biggest hindrance for people who, or players who have contracts like the size of Grundy's, is actually, can you fit it in? Like, plain and simple. So
I don't think Collingwood can keep paying other people's contract, like Treloar. That's just bad look.
You don't want to be paying. You want to use as much as you cap on your own players.
Correct.
Like, I know it does happen, and it continues to happen around the competition. But you know, it's even the Dustin Martin discussion. You know, people going, "Oh, should Freo move Fife on?" You know, there's different players who are on the 1 million plus. It's good in theory, but other clubs are up, you know, to their pussy's bow in salary cap stuff. So you can't just absorb $1 million, and then on top of that, Collingwood want to be compensated, whether it be draft picks or players, and the club that they're going to will go, nah, look, we like our players. So there's so many elements that you've got to get done.
Rabbi, can you get it done from a player manager's point of view?
Anything you can get done. I'm just saying it's difficult to do.
Yeah, it's a tricky one to get done if it's just a clean sort of, you know, swap. Trade sort of
you taking for this.
Yeah, it's tricky. But in saying that, if Brody turns around and says he wants to leave, well then, you know, it's a whole different story.
Can all three play in the one team, James? Cox, Cameron and Grundy.
Well, it means Big Meso never goes into the ruck.
That's right.
Which is where he doesn't play well. Yeah.
Well, I probably question that. You look when he went into the ruck against Melbourne, that's when the game changed.
Hmm. That's what I mean. I don't want Cox to be a permanent forward.
Oh, yes. Sorry, you're saying... Okay, sorry.
But you didn't word that very well, Scotty, I don't
know. Me? No, I said it very well. I think Adam wasn't really understanding.
There's
normal
feedback for you.
I think in the past they've tried it, and I don't think it's worked. Yeah. So I think it's two of the three play.
I agree. There was someone arguing in this office last week that all three could play, and I think that's madness.
Why?
Well, I don't think all three could play. I think it'd throw them out. Too heavy.
And the other asterisk is Grundy prepared to play forward? Because in the past, it's been, I want to play 90, 95% in the ruck, and that's what I'll do.
It's a dilemma.
How far can they go, Jimmy and Ram? We'll start with you, Jimmy, the Magpies.
And then the Saints are helping them with this fact, because Collingwood was always, in my mind, they challenged for the bottom part of the eight. And that's looking more and more likely. The way they're playing their footy, they're exciting. They're hard to play against. And I think where their big improvement has come is now they've got a bit of polish with that last kick going inside forward 50. So the first few weeks, they were exciting. They were breakneck speed, but they couldn't mark the ball inside forward 50. But I think they're the best side at manufacturing a goal. You look at the types they've got at ground level. Mm. You know, Ginnivan, McCreary, Henry, Elliot, DeGoey when he's back at the side. The ball hits the deck. Oh, Dacos, yeah, that sort of stuff.
Dacos
and another Dacos. But they can make goals out of nothing, which is hard to do, but they just need to find that mark, because what the mark does is, because they play at a breakneck speed, gives them a bit of opportunity to catch their breath and set up the ground.
So, Scotty, Collingwood's next four is Gold Coast and Metricon.
Win.
North Melbourne. Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
Four.
They win four.
They'll probably play. They'll finish in the top four.
So they'll be 13 wins after 18 rounds. They're in.
And then their last four are Port Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney, Carlton. So their next four games are absolutely critical.
No mistakes, they're in.
Yeah. If they go sort of 4-0, you pencil them in, because those last four games...
Pen them in.
Well, depending on Port Adelaide's next month. Yeah. But they're looking like they're sort of getting some sort of form back. Melbourne's a tough one for them. Sydney at the SCG, tough one. Then, you know, round 23 is Carlton. So that's flip of the coin.
So we take the $1.65 with the tab to make the top eight, the Magpies.
Oh, absolutely. Load up.
So what are they? They're nine wins now.
Yeah, they get to 13.
If they get these four, 13 will get them there.
And then they win one or two of your final four that you mean. They could get one, maybe two. They get to 15 wins. That's
I think this Gold Coast game is the big one. If they can get over this one, because Gold Coast are in good nick. They played well yesterday, although they lost. and they play well at Metricon, I think then the next three, they go North Melbourne, Adelaide, Essendon, and they should win those.
How good's their back line, the Magpies?
I agree.
But I think their back group, even though they've had injuries over the last few years and there's been guys coming, I think their back group's been always really good.
Yep.
But the problem they had was they'd all get back. So midfielders, forwards would get so high up the ground. And then it turned into a stat fest across halfback.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so now they just go forward and they open you up.
And that's the big change in Collingwood's game. So they were surgical the way they moved the ball from back to forward with the way Nathan Buckley wanted them to play. But now it's all about, hey, when we win the ball back in our back half, we're going to go. Yeah. We're going to go as quickly as we can and move the ball because we want to be a territory team. We want to lock the ball into our forward half of the ground. So that's where I see the big change for Collingwood this year.
Degoa gets back.
Yep.
So can they make it to a prelim, the Magpies?
Let's
just get to the finals.
Let's get to the finals.
Let's
first.
Just get to the finals.
I'm on the bandwagon for the Magpies. Aren't you?
By the sounds of it.
Let's talk about Saturday night's or Saturday twilight between the Richmond Football Club and the Cats. What a match that was, Jimmy. The best match of the season, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, let's go with him.
I'm trying to. It's hard to remember every game that we've had. Cracking game. I think where Geelong's improvement has come from is their centre bounce work and their clearance work. That's where really good sides have gotten a hold of them, the territory. You think back. I know Melbourne were destroying everyone, but you think back to the start of the prelim final against the D's, they just blew that game open in the first 10, 15 minutes with some stoppage work, centre bounce work. You just think Petrarca, Oliver, all those, even Neil Bullen, these guys pushing up to the contest, they just blasted out the front of the stoppage against the Cats. I think they've tightened their work around the stoppage, but also like it's amazing that a 10 or 11 games, I think, the Koning, how important he's become because... What that allows him to do is if he can take the big banana, it allows Stewart to peel off and play that anchor defender. We see all good sides have that anchor defender. Henry back in the side is another one. So then what it does is allows them to set up the way they want to do and Stewart dictates play. We know he's going to be out for a few weeks, but he'll be back in time for finals. But structurally, what an 11-game player does for him behind the footy is amazing because then you're not in a rush to send blitz halves back. So he goes up and plays that wing ruck role that has been really effective for the Cats.
Lynch seemed to get on top in a period of the game.
I thought he did as well.
And the coach, to Chris Scott's credit, didn't pull
you
the
could
trigger.
See De Koning, his body language there for a period of time was like, I can't beat this guy. He's too strong for me. But then he had some really good moments late in the game where I thought to myself, he's got the mental fortitude to continue to hang in there. The interesting part with this game was when Presti got knocked out, that's when actually Geelong capitalised within the game, that little period of time where Richmond had to sort of regroup and restructure their team. Geelong were able to score. So they get out the 35 points or whatever, then Richmond start to run them down. But you look at those final moments. So because Geelong had played with such confidence, Richmond then threw all caution to the wind. So they just start to attack. Attack, attack, attack. You know, Bolton goes and plays one out in the goal square, and it's a tough matchup for anybody. But the change in Richmond again, you talk about changing Colin, the change in Richmond again is their ball movement. Like, yeah, they're a surge territory team, but they're actually using it through good skill now.
Yep.
And I think in the past we haven't said that about Richmond. They just, they're rolling along the ground and good luck.
What was the difference with the Cats? 35 points up and then... They give up that lead. They're 17 points down the second half. And then they play. They want to go back into to the middle more, Jimmy. I remember that prelim against the Tigers, and they were up by 3 or 4 goals just before half time. And then
it was the grand final.
The prelim. This is the prelim. But this is years back. Yeah.
But it's happened against the Tigers a bit. I think the Tigers think at any stage, if they keep going at it, they're a chance to get back in the game. They've just got that belief. They've done, as you said. You've highlighted a prelim and a grand final. It'd be the coaching message is just keep going. They'll give us opportunities. And I think with Richmond, if they can get Geelong back into that methodical ball use, they actually don't mind it because then we always talk about this territory game and you go back to that grand final. It was almost like they just set the brick wall 60 to 70 metres out against the Cats. And they're like, okay, you can kick backwards, sidewards, 15 metres up the line because... we'll set up behind and then we'll just play the forward half turnover game, which Richmond are unbelievable at. They won premierships off it, and that's the big improvement in Melbourne in the last 2 years. The forward half turnover game, and that means, all right, we mightn't get you this time, but we'll turn it over, we'll get you on the next one.
Teams want Geelong to play slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the reality. Like, no one's going to openly say it because it's the easiest way to play against Geelong. When they're actually moving the ball, they're near impossible to play
against.
They've
got better at doing that this year.
Yeah, Cameron and Hawkins are so good forward of the ball when they've got one-on-one. Stengel's been terrific.
Yeah, because when Geelong play slower their back half, it means, because structurally it means Hawkins has to come up and be that bailout kick. Cameron has to come up and be that bailout kick. So if they win the footy, you go, fine, you can have it 90, 100 metres from goal. Have it as much as you want down there.
You're with Gareth Hall, Scotty Gallen, Jimmy Bartel and Adam Ramanaskis on this Monday morning at 7:17. We'll take a quick break on the other side of it. We'll get Jimmy's take on how many weeks Tommy Stewart should get.
Gareth Hall and Scott Gallen. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
20 minutes past 7. Jimmy Bartel and Adam Ramanaskis with us as well. Daniel Harford and Adam White on a well-earned break. Jimmy, how's your golf going?
Good. We're still all level. My man's a hole in front. He's on the 16th, and Scheffler just really wimped out on the par 3.
Poor.
He hit the green, but he's 180 metres from the hole.
He's choking.
And well done to our superstar as well, Minjie Lee. She finished second in another major this morning in the PGA Championship.
Fairly solid vein of form.
Yeah, she's a winning factory.
Flying at the moment. We're talking football, of course, on this Monday morning. And Tom Stewart, Jimmy Bartel.
You used to run the MRP. Remember that back in the good old days?
I've never ran it.
Well, how do you miss that role?
Absolutely not.
Who was tapping on the shoulder when you said, I'm going to give him 6 weeks? No, don't do that.
Well, this is a bit of my frustration.
Here we go, Scotty.
All of you media type, Bummer Thompson, all of you. That you don't take the time to actually learn what's going on.
We don't have time for that.
No, because...
No, just want a headline.
No, you just want a headline. Oh, it's got to be 6. It's got to be 7. He said 7, so I'll give him 10.
Let's get 3 days out of it.
Yeah, so...
I believe you two are both in the media, so enjoy your feedback.
No, but we take the time to actually understand the rules of the game, which another one which we'll talk on, the Darcy Moore stuff. Controversial!
Okay, hit me with Tom Stewart in your MRP role. Straight to the tribunal.
Yeah, it's pretty simple for Michael Christian. He could put it up on the back of the toilet door and he could tick the boxes as he goes. And this is where I think we frustrate and we have a responsibility as a media to actually tell them how it works. Because if you just yell out 6 weeks, well, it's great. You incite people, you get them angry, you get them frustrated. But it works from left to right. And in a fun way, it's a choose-your-own-adventure for Michael Christian. And you've just got to...
Those books were good.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah, the pirate ones. Yeah, you want to go this way, you get some treasures.
So what is your estimation
what I'm saying, Scott, is you just simply go, is it intentional or careless? And the people who keep saying reckless doesn't exist.
No.
So stop doing that, Scott.
No, I think that was Steve-O time.
Stop doing reckless because it doesn't exist. Like, you're going to get frustrated as a football fan. So was it intentional or careless?
It was intentional.
Okay. Was the impact low, medium, high, or severe?
High, severe.
Severe. And we all know it got him in the head. So it's to the tribunal.
Yeah, no,
And it's 3+. So the tribunal, that's as simple. So if you yell out 5 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks doesn't exist unless you tick the boxes going and
but
it goes
my
to the
question
tribunal.
To you, James, is what do you think the tribunal will view it in terms of weeks suspension?
I'm not sure because they'll get a full medical report and that's what we don't get access to.
Well, so, Presty's going to miss a game, clearly.
I don't know. We've seen guys who...
Well, he's under concussion protocol, so he's out.
We thought Cody Waitman was going to miss 8 weeks.
And he's tough.
Oh, you're saying Presty is not tough. Is that the headline, Scott?
No, but Presty has to miss 12.
Yeah, that's what I was going to point.
I'm just stirring Scott up here.
Okay, I like it.
How many weeks do you think on Tuesday evening he will be suspended for?
Well, it says 3+.
The tribunal's not going to...
I'm not the tribunal, mate. We've seen them have all sorts...
It's just your opinion, James. Yeah, it's an opinion business.
Yeah, I gave my opinion. It's 3+.
Yeah.
What, are you, your headphones on?
No, well, I want 4 or 3.
Can you please give
which
me
is 3+. You've just said the same answer as me.
How will they go?
Can you ask him?
He's got a good point, Jim. 3+.
Yeah.
Is that 4 or 3 or 5?
That's the exact same answer.
Or 8 or 10.
Anyway, it's 3+. We'll move on. How will the Cats go without him?
Yeah, I think that's more the question.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Do they get someone to assume that role?
I think probably Jack Henry. Yeah. Probably go back. Look, no one's going to replace him in terms of the way Tom Stewart plays. He's had an outstanding year.
Have you got your in the coming weeks thing that you
have? What
about
a Mitch Duncan going back to try and play a quarterback role? But it's different.
No, because if you get Mitch Duncan as the anchor defender, the opposition's going, come Mitch, we're going down to the goal square.
Yeah, that's not.
And you're going to spend
well.
The whole entire game.
They're just going to have to play differently.
So they go. Who they go? North Melbourne.
That's okay.
Relax.
Kardinia Park.
Oh, definitely relax.
Melbourne.
So that's going
to
be...
At Kardinia Park.
Oh.
Then they go the Blues at the G, and then Port Adelaide at the Adelaide Oval.
Because he's their best player this year, easily.
Yes. Well, he's their most important. Well, I'll put Tom Hawkins and him, either.
What would have they learned from last year when he missed the latter part of the year?
That we need Tom Stewart.
Yeah.
we learned he's a good player.
As quickly as we possibly can.
He's a magnificent player. They'll try and play the same system, whether then blitz against one of those, because the D's have got a few tools on the forward line, whether you bring blitz halves back, which means do you bring in another option forward that can ruck with Stanley?
So I think what they may do is sort of mix and match. Like, you might see Tui play loose. You might see Duncan play loose. You might see Blitzars play loose. You might see Henry play loose. So they might just sort of swing it around. Like Jim's right. You don't want Duncan back in the last line of defence. You probably don't want Zach Tui back in the last line of defence anymore. You want those guys up around half back, using the football. So I think they like Blitzar's pinch hitting in the ruck with Stanley and how that's working. So they've got to get through probably 2-2 over the next 4 weeks.
So they might, if Dangerfield comes in, Blitzar's might end up playing that role where he plays on the wing and he just rolls back behind the footy, which they've done a few times down at Kennedy Park because it's easier to do it on that ground.
So with the Tigers, I thought they were really good.
Yeah, super.
So in September, who are you tipping out of the Tigers and Geelong?
Ooh.
If they take on each other at the G,
I still think the Tigers are a super side. Like you get a good sustained run of Dustin Martin back, but he's almost the answer to everything, isn't he? Because he's shown in all the big games he's the answer. He's the most valuable player, and he's single handedly won games. Like, I know it's a system, but you have all these memories of him. Just ball goes in, push the guy out of the way, bank goal.
Shea Bolton's doing a lot of that, isn't he?
Yes.
He's an amazing player.
Yeah.
He's impossible to tackle.
He's impossible to play against because he can get the ball in the air and on the ground. And, like, you look at when he marks, he just goes straight up. Yeah, he doesn't drift. He just goes straight up in the air. And it's
unfair.
Yeah.
And Liam Baker, I mean, they've plugged some holes very well, that team.
He's a good player.
Yeah. Liam Baker.
They're just a good footy club, aren't they? And they're outside of the eight, but they're going to play a role in September.
Their development of players. You think the guys that they've had in the Premiership era off rookie lists, their VFL program, and how quick they get them up to speed.
So what you hope with Richmond is Presti only misses a week. Cochin comes back. Lambert comes back. Bolter's probably going to miss a couple of more weeks with that hamstring. The key to Richmond for the remainder of the season is midfield depth. If they can keep depth through the middle of the ground, through speed, that will be the most critical part.
And healthy for a couple of weeks together.
Can you take us through the Geelong culture and the job that they've been able to do with Tyson Stengel? I think he's nearly the best recruit of the year, and he was really good in that last quarter when they needed someone to stand up.
I think it'd be a couple of things. The fact that they did a lot of work before he came to the club, and they would have read the Right Act and clearly made the rules, and also presented an opportunity. Like, it's his third club. He's only 23, but, you spend a year outside the system, you go, oh, it's my last roll of the dice, I get to play with a good club. But also, he's going to a side where they're getting a heap of the ball inside forward 50. A lot of focus on Hawkins and Cameron. But he's always had the ability in his early days, you go back to Richmond and the Crows, he can find the ground ball inside forward 50. And that's what Geelong have seen. So Geelong have had small forwards who are very good pressure forwards. They get up. They've used Close, Myers, these sort of guys who, even Delhouse, said, get up, help us win the ball, we'll just get inside forward 50. But he's a genuine inside forward 50 small forward. And you know, with those two big blokes roaming around the forward line, you had Dangerfield, even Rowan. It's a pretty good place to operate.
We'll get to your SMSs in the last 10 minutes of Jimmy being here around 10 to 8, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation on this Monday morning. But Jimmy, there's a question coming through and we should have addressed it at the top. Darcy Moore and that deliberate call there by the umpire.
Well, this is back to the Scott Gallons of the world who are yelling out, controversial.
I didn't even see it.
Yeah.
Jeez, Jimmy's... Yeah, he's I'm not just, happy with
I'm
you, Scotty.
I'll wind him up.
We have a bit of fun. The rule's pretty clear. Yeah, outside the goal square of the nine...
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble. And still it amazes me how many players don't know the rules. Like, even the ones who are so close to the line, they're like, I've got to keep it in.
Collar Jasny rushed one on Saturday twilight, but he's in the goal square. And there was somebody near him. That's not deliberate. No. You're allowed to do that.
You can paddle it. You can paddle it into that area.
So explain what Darcy, for those who didn't see it, what happened.
Well, Darcy would have been probably 15 meters.
15 meters out.
Tapped it. Ball went through the goals.
And it was just play on, no problem.
No, it was
a deliberate.
Yeah, oh, deliberate. They called it deliberate.
Yeah. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's simple.
So there was outcry, was there? From types like me.
Yeah, all of you type. A controversial decision.
Oh.
So it's not controversial.
Would Darcy have been... Justin Lepich told Darcy about that rule in pre-season, or do you think it's a situation where Darcy just forgot it
now? I think it's on every player to know the rules of the game.
Especially if you're a defender, a key defender, you want to know what rules you're working with.
And you're surprised that more players don't rush it through when they're on the goal line?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of coaches go, just take it through. Yeah. What are you doing?